Good morning again. It's John Williams here, weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon on social media. I'm WGN King John, and it's Thursday. It's not Monday. I don't know if you're going to work today or you're not going to school, but it's just when the holidays fall midweek, it's really 2.5 weeks of lost productivity and even focus for those who are going to work here in America. But today is Thursday / Monday. Tomorrow is whatever it is. Next week will feel like the groove again, which I think most of us are ready to get back on anyway. I caught my wife yesterday throwing out some cookies. We're done. We're just done.
That's bad when that happens.
There weren't many. To be honest with you, there weren't many. I was eating cookies left and right, but I thought, you know what? I support this, Brenda. Those last few don't have to be in us. It could be there.
It's sad when you throw away the cookies that you made. And I had to do that this year. I think my family's just sick of them. We're just sick of them. Well, thanks a lot. I mean, I gave away as many as I could, and then, you know, you spend all that time baking. And
I think you get to a point where you say, what will I feel better 5 minutes from now, having eaten the cookie, which eliminates the cookie, or having thrown away the cookie? Either way, we still don't have that cookie. Now, 5 minutes from now, which one is going to make me feel happier? This is not news. This has been food consumption for America for years now, but there's that. I guess my point is, Mary, I'm okaying your tossing the cookies.
Even if I made them myself?
Well, in that case, I'll tell you what, Mary, if you'd given them to me, I probably would have eaten them.
Yeah, I should have brought them
in. If it wasn't moving, I was pretty much eating it lately.
They were just getting a little old. You know, after a while, cookies do get old. The ones you bake yourself.
I mentioned the movie to Pete. I said there's a film I saw that was just so good. You will be thankful if you write this movie down. It's called Wild Rose. Wild Rose. We watched it on demand last night. Cost us $5.99. My son, wife, and I, even Daisy, the dizzy, dappled dachshund, and I were sitting there just crying. We were just crying. The movie got to a critical juncture at the very end. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. It's not a serial drama. It's not a crime thriller. It's a musical drama about a young woman who's trying to achieve her dreams as a singer. But at the end, I just started to walk around the living room. I thought, all right, I'm going to pace because I can't sit very long anyway. And so my back is to my family. And at one point, I went... And then behind me, I'm hearing, we were a wreck. It was just a puddle on the sofa of doggy tears and human tears.
Who's in that?
Nobody you know.
Oh.
It's...
I just looked it up. I didn't recognize anybody.
It's a 2018 British musical drama about a young lady named Rose Lynn Harlan. And the woman that plays her is not a household name. This is sort of a breakout performance by this actress who's as good a singer as she is an actress. I'll read you the three sentences that describe it on IMDb. Rose Lynn Harlan, an aspiring country singer and single mom of two from Glasgow, is released from jail after a 12-month sentence. She learns that she has lost her job in the house band at Glasgow's Grand Ole Opry. She dreams to travel to Nashville and be a country singer someday. And it's about her journey and story. I'm not into country music. This is not my cup of tea. You watch this, you will thank me. And I've been sharing with you my movie reviews lately. I saw Uncut Gems, which I thought was terrific. I know a lot of you won't. And a lot of you didn't. Knives Out was really good. Booksmart I just watched and thought that was swell. This is the best movie I've seen in a long time.
It says it's a comedy. And you were crying?
It's funny in some places, but it's not a comedy.
Oh, okay.
It's a good movie. And I'll tell you what, there have been a lot of musical movies lately too, right? Like Rocket Man, Yesterday, Blinded by the Light. Bohemian Rhapsody, A Star is Born. Last year and a half, we've seen all of those. This is the best of them. Trust me. Okay. It's nine. Dave, write that down.
I got it.
I got it, too.
I told Dave Ennett I'll give him $5.99 back if he doesn't love this movie. But I'm not going to do that for everybody. I saw Dave and I mentioned
that. I won't
that.
Ask you to do that.
How good of a season is Patrick Kane having?
He's having another season similar to last year.
Isn't this been fun? I mean, and
most points in the decade.
I know. I saw that. I thought, well, who else but Patrick Kane? Although it's been a decade with some big stars. But
sure,
say what you will about the Blackhawks' performance last few years. Kaner's been getting it done.
He has. And big reason that they're playing better now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. What have they won, four of their last five?
They've won six of their last eight, and they've won their last four on the road.
Yeah.
They're above 500.
It seems like every time I say, here we come, then we lose by 7 points to New Jersey or something. But
well, last time, you know, it's weird because in this hot streak, they've had one real clunker of a game. I mean, you know, that 7-1 So against New Jersey.
You have federal student loan debt? Kaplan Law Firm's got the secret to lowering your monthly payment and eliminating thousands of dollars in federal student loans. If you work in the public sector, say you're a firefighter, you're a police officer, you're a doctor, a nurse, you work for a municipality, you likely qualify for thousands of dollars of forgiveness of your federal student loans. If you're not in the public sector, private sector, Kaplan Law Firm can still help reduce your monthly payments. Give Ray Kaplan a call. Frequent guest on this show. She is so helpful. 312-294-8989. Or just tap this in right now. Financialrelief.com. Visit financialrelief.com.
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Yeah, I do, Elif. We thought I do have you up, and I'm not hearing the song, so we'll just pass on that for now. But I was going to play for you the theme song from that movie I was advocating for, Wild Rose. I'll just leave it at that. Wild Rose, it's 101 minutes long. I'm on a wiki noticing that the box office for this did $7.1 million, which is the concessions for a Star Wars film at one theater, right? I mean, it's just nothing. Wild Rose. Now, maybe you won't like it, but I suspect you will. And I'm not even a country fan. I just wanted to go back to the New Year's Eve celebrations, the counting down the clock on TV two nights ago. I'm reading Bob Feeder's piece, and he said maybe it was that spectacular opening number, or maybe it was the appearance of Mark Giancreco in drag. Whatever the reason, Chicago viewers overwhelmingly chose Channel 7 to ring in the new year Tuesday night. Channel 7 drew in 354,000 people. Channel 5 drew in 185,000 people, and Channel 9 drew in 153,000. So 5 and 9 combined were less than Channel 7. Eric Zorn tweeted before the shows. He said he was getting ready to just hate watch with some friends Channel 7. For two decades, it's been the tradition that I guess Giancreco and Janet Davies and whoever else is over there at the time get together and they ring in the new year. And I don't know when, though, maybe 20 years ago, it was decided that the way to celebrate New Year's on TV is to put your news anchors on and have them get drunk and do things most of us would never do or do on TV. But you have the most trusted and respected people at your places, your main anchors. This is what CNN does, too. And you have them get blotto or just really ridiculous on TV.
I don't know how much they're really drinking. I mean, I
do you think
I mean,
they're getting
CNN
drunk on
maybe.
CNN
maybe.
And
I didn't watch CNN this year.
I kind of watch all of this stuff the next day a little bit in the clips.
I think one thing with Channel 7 was that I think ABC they start the Ryan Seacrest stuff from New York earlier.
Yeah,
that's like during prime time. So I think that, and that's another question, John.
What happened to Ryan Seacrest's face?
Well, that's one question.
Yeah.
Why would you go? I get it. Times Square, it's a great tradition.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anything more miserable than being in the middle of that crowd on New Year's Eve.
That's kind of the attitude at our house too.
Right?
Like,
I mean,
really,
it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, there was a point when Don Lemon was singing. And this, I don't know if this is pre or post tattoo reveal, but so he's kind of standing there with a Brooke Baldwin and they're kind of rocking back and forth and singing a song with a guy and they're live on stage. It's a party. But there's a crowd around them, and the people behind them look like they had just been released. I mean, from insane asylums. They were just like nutty people. And the camera was trying to crop Lemon and Baldwin so that these obnoxious, just obnoxious people weren't invading the space. But it really doesn't matter. I think people just tune in to see them all get silly, which, again, that's fine, I guess. But I suppose they know it, too, right? That if you are local or if you're on CNN, you know people are watching. But one of the reasons they're watching is for the ridiculousness of it all. But I just want to say what I saw on Channel 9. And I know this will sound like a homer because we're all owned by the same company. And you hear Dean here, of course. But I thought what I saw from them, particularly at midnight, was spot on.
No, I watched it, too. I totally agree with you.
You guys made it to midnight?
I did. It was a tough go for a while, Mayor.
Oh, my gosh. I was in bed by 10.
We were really busy.
On
New Year's Eve, Brenda and I went to dinner. But the way our evening was sort of, we knew what we were going to do, so we had to eat early. We were at Uncommon Ground, just north of Wrigley Field, at 5 p.m. There weren't a lot of us there, but we got in and out of there so we could get home in time to watch the Butler game. We watched the Butler basketball game on TV. Then we sort of brushed our teeth, and then we went back out to Carol's, a little north of us, which is a bar that has really good music. The Trailer Park Twisters were performing there. A buddy of mine sings lead in that band, and they are dynamite. They're there half a dozen times a year, the Trailer Park Twisters. So that was our evening. It was when we were at the restaurant that night that we visited with the waiter and somebody else, and they were telling us how that venue, Uncommon Ground, was being rented out the next morning so that the pot store nearby could use the entire restaurant just to give the crowd they were expecting a place to warm up before they went in to buy their dope. I was there when the door opened up at 6 in the morning, and it was the next day. It was pretty funny because when that door opened up, you went, "Whoo, boy, that is marijuana." If you did not know, and you can't see into the store, so it's just this orange facade, and there's no windows. If there is, they're painted over. You can't see inside. But the door opens up, and it's like the dorm room where everybody is smoking inside. You go, oh! And I don't think they're actually using the product in there. It must have just been all of the product was giving it that very marijuana-y smell. But that was my experience on the following morning. John, the lead of Wild Rose is from Chernobyl. How about that?
Wow.
John, what was the name of the movie that you were recommending? Wild Rose. Cost you $6 on demand. A lot of you are saying that, and I thought, gee, I'm sorry. I thought I mentioned that more than once. Wild Rose, says 773, is free on Hulu if you subscribe. What is the movie John was talking about? John, I haven't watched in years, but I did because of BTS. John, what is the reason for the increase was I'm not sure what this is about. BTS. What are they talking about here? Do you know, producer Ella?
Remember the Korean band?
Yeah,
it's like a Korean boy band.
And that's what people were watching on TV.
They were on the Ryan Seacrest thing.
Oh,
from New York.
They're a huge deal. Remember, we talked about them not that long ago.
No, I do remember that. I just didn't know where they were. So they were on ABC or two nights ago. Mm-hmm. Ryan Seacrest is not the Ryan Seacrest that you remember. He just looks... Mary, did you see any of that Ryan Seacrest on TV?
I went over there quickly, but, you know... Well, Jenny McCarthy wasn't with him, right?
She didn't do the show this year for
the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
He looks a little bit... Puffier.
And I don't know if that was... His face looked a little more drawn. He's a handsome young man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why he would get facial surgery.
Yeah,
but
only 40-something.
It looked like he either has, since he's not doing American Idol right now, got to, you know, let himself go a little bit during the holidays, or maybe he's had surgery and his face is just a little puffy as it swells down. But that's just me 100% speculating. So there's a piece at CNN right now, and it's about trends that we will see in 2020. So this year, what can you look forward to seeing? One of the things they reminded us is that 2020 will be the year of the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. There will be five sports that will be new at the Summer Olympics this year. I'm looking at Dave Bennett. Dave, one of them is baseball, softball. I guess baseball for the men.
Coming back.
Softball, yeah. But it had been there before.
Yes, and then was taken out, and now it's going back.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because
I don't know if it's going back as an experimental sport this time.
Or permanent, huh?
Or a regular, full-fledged Olympic sport.
Karate is going to be new this year, and I'm surprised that's not a regular feature.
Judo has been.
Yeah, I don't know the difference. I'm sure there is, and a lot of folks know, but if judo is good, karate would seem to me to be a logical international sport. Skateboarding is going to be one of them. I have no trouble with that. The X Games have sure legitimized those as a popular and very athletic event. Sports climbing is an event at the Olympics this year. I'm not sure what that would be. I guess there's a route these people have to climb up. And surfing is going to be an Olympic sport as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
In Tokyo.
Well, that's strange, but okay.
You know, sometimes the waves are up, sometimes they aren't. I'm not sure how they're going to manage all of that, but they say that they will. Time for news, says producer Ellip. Then we'll pick up a couple of phone lines. But you can join us along the way, of course. 312-981-7200. Incidentally, after the news in the next half hour, we will visit with Leslie Roth, the owner of a business in town that's doing a fund share. I think it's something we all could and should get behind because it's a business we've talked about. We visited with these people before that's going up in Englewood. What's the business and how do you get involved?
The inability to learn the product, and there was an issue in the...
Was that their inability or your inability?
I suppose I should have directed everybody else to learn the product.
And yeah, but you went to Orlando to learn about Harry Potter. Nobody else did. So wouldn't you have been the one to know the product and learn the product? So are you responsible?
I think we did not win. But I think if you were looking at this like a baseball team, we're making progress. I believe.
Governor, I have great respect for you. I have great respect for your tenacity, for the fact that you just don't give up. But Rod, you're fired.
With one true thing, I love traffic. I love the colors yellow and green. I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about things.
It's 9:39. Good morning. I'm John Williams. This is WGN Radio.
And his tans all fade and the memories do too.
Think about it. That's a
haiku.
Edition of Celebrity Apprentice. Two voices in that clip. One of them an up-and-coming famous politician with presidential aspirations, the other one Donald Trump. One goes to jail and the other one does become president of the United States. Who knew? On my mind just a little bit, that clip. I mean, it's just bizarre to go back and listen to that thing. But at Newsmax.com, a conservative and very pro-Trump website, former Governor Rod Blagojevich, who was your governor for 6 years? Was it 2003 to 2009? 2003 to 2009, our 40th governor. What was he, the fourth in a line of seven? Like, do we have four out of seven that went to jail for a while there? He's still in jail, and he has written an op-ed piece at that website that is the conservative site Newsmax. I only mention that because I think that what Blagojevich is trying to do, and he and Patty have both been trying to do this, is do anything they can to get the president's ear, hoping that Blago's sentence will be commuted. So he's writing about how if Nancy Pelosi were the Speaker of the House when Abraham Lincoln was president, even Abraham Lincoln would have been thrown in jail. She's off the rails. She's out of control. It's partisan. And he's saying all these things not because he thinks he was wrongly convicted. He does. But because that's very sympathetic to the president's situation right now. And if Donald Trump just keeps reading this stuff, then maybe the president will finally do what he's hinted at, and that is let Rod out early. He could, at a moment's notice, do it. And every now and then, the news sort of percolates up about Blago and Trump and the sort of nexus between the Blagojevich camp, the president camp, and then these media outlets that are favorable to the president and will put up anything that is sympathetic for his ear. So the Blagojeviches are going through a Fox and Friends or Fox News or Newsmax to get Donald Trump's attention. I don't know if this is going to work, but Blago wrote, I, like most people from my home state of Illinois, am a great admirer of Abraham Lincoln. Recently, I've wondered what would have happened had Nancy Pelosi been the Speaker of the House when Abraham Lincoln was president. But Speaker Pelosi's House Democrats use the same flimsy impeachment standard they are currently using to impeach Honest Abe, one of the greatest presidents in the history of our country. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, gee, that's kind of an odd topic for Blagojevich, who's in jail in Colorado, to write up on. But clearly, he has an agenda here. It goes on for a couple of pages when you print it out. This is the end of Blago's op-ed at Newsmax. No president is safe. If a majority of hyper-partisan House members from the opposition party are willing to abuse the Constitution and vote to impeach, and the worst part of it is that should this happen, those politicians are taking from the people their right to choose their own leaders through free elections. So much for government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not perishing from this earth. Rod Blagojevich, it says here, served as the 40th governor of Illinois, 2003 to 2009. So we will see. I'm hearing from some people close to the Blagojeviches that were closer than you may know to President Trump doing something about their situation. Here's just my advice to the media that covers this. There are other pictures of Blagojevich out there besides the shirtless one of him in jail with the headphones on and the white hair. Every time there's a story about him now, that's the one they print. And it is kind of shocking, I know, to see the man famous for his beautiful, coiffed, dark head of hair, so important to him that he has his bag man carry the brush. I'm not making that up. We all remember that, right? And with this jet white hair now, it's just a little startling. And then you don't normally see your governor without his or her shirt on. And there he is. And frankly, he looks terrific. I mean, jail's been good to him from a physical regimen standpoint, obviously. What are you doing? But a bunch of sit-ups? You know, I don't know, playing some basketball, jogging out there. He loves to run, and he looks terrific. I've always felt that Rod Blagojevich went to jail for way too long. I thought he should go to jail. I don't know that that will ever keep the next politician from abusing the law, but we do have to jail politicians that do. And if the next one wants to abuse the law, let's throw them in jail too. Doesn't seem to have a deterring effect. But the shirtless thing, come on, guys, let's work a little harder at this. I mean, come on, come on. You could get him with a suit on. He usually had a suit on. In fact, he loved his clothing. He was a clothes horse. We remember that too, don't we? Now we've got a picture of him with no clothes on. Let's head into the WGN radio newsroom. Then I'll take you to Englewood and tell you about a business I think you and I could and should support. In our studio right now, Steve Marchese, who is the co-owner and founder of Englewood Brews, and Leslie Roth, who is the co-owner and founder of Englewood Brews, a couple of entrepreneurs from the south side of Chicago who visited with us some time ago. There was a contest, a fundraising contest. Isn't that how I first met you guys? What was the deal?
We were just closing on our funding and starting to think about construction. We wanted to give you an overview of what Englewood Brews is about. And now we're really excited to announce we have started construction. We're looking forward to a spring open.
Spring open. So this is January. So sometime April, May, June, something like that?
May, June is what we're looking at.
May,
yep.
June. Mm-hmm. You're going to open a tap room? Is that the idea?
Yes. We're going to run a 10-barrel production facility as well as a tap room. We'll also have event space.
And Steve, I think part of the curiosity of you guys mm-hmm. was, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, I think, to champion what you're doing. Any business on the South Side, any new entrepreneurs that want to put money into Englewood, we should all be thumbs up. It was also noted, though, that the African-American community has not necessarily embraced the craft brew craze, or maybe it's the other way around. The craft brew craze has not reached out to blacks, but it's weird to see. I mean, you guys aren't Wrigley. We're talking Englewood here, right?
Right. I think that in fact, it's the craft beer industry that has kind of looked over the black beer drinker. not only in Chicago, but across the nation. So part of what we're trying to do is to promote diversity in craft beer and make it, you know, available for everybody to enjoy.
Yeah. So you have your own beer line then? What are the brews that Englewood Brewing is doing?
Steve is actually the master brewer, but just to give you a little background on where we're coming up with flavors and different styles that we're working on, we really wanted to emphasize the history, the culture, the arts, the people and events of Englewood, and make sure that any beer drinker, anyone buying our beer, if you're getting it in the suburbs or you're getting it, you know, from Whole Foods or Binny's or in the tap room, that you have a better understanding of the community when you leave than when you walk in the door. So all of our beers are named after Englewood mythology, all the really wonderful spaces and places that exist in the community. For example, Sherman Park, which was actually designed by the Olmsted brothers. Everyone knows them because of the 1893 World's Fair. And Mr. Sherman was actually Daniel Burnham, the father of Chicago's father-in-law.
How about
so
that?
So there's a real deep history of Chicago in Englewood that people don't know about.
So one of the brands is Sherman Park?
Sherman's Dark Lager and Sherman's Picnic Lager.
That's right, Picnic Lager.
So a couple of lagers with Sherman Park on the name. What else do you have? I mean, I think that's a great idea. You know, the craft brew cans are bizarre anymore, and the names of them are absolutely ridiculous.
They are.
So I don't know if you're leaning that way, or it sounds like you're being a little more pragmatic about it, which I thoroughly appreciate.
Well, I mean, if everyone is kind of got a crazy name and a crazy label, how do you stick out on the shelf? You have to differentiate yourself, you know, amongst all the beers that are out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, our labels and our naming conventions do that. They stand out as not being completely off the
wall. Now, I'm an IPA guy, so would you have something in that area?
Sort of. We don't do a traditional IPA. We do a tropical IPA, which is influenced by flavors of hops from, say, the New Zealand area, Australia, and take some of its influence from New England-style IPA with its softer mouthfeel.
You have a little citrus in that, then?
We do, yes.
Which is not an uncommon blend of, of IPAs these days, too. That
and tropical fruit, stone fruit are all part of the hop profiles.
And what will the name of that one be?
That one is Bucket of Parrots.
Bucket of Parrots.
Yeah.
Okay, now I need to know the history of that.
So if anyone has ever had the shock of seeing big green birds flying around in parts of the South Side, Hyde Park was famous for it, and I've seen their big, huge nests and birds also in Englewood. But these are actual parrots. They're probably, what, about 12, 14 inches tall?
Really?
They
still
flock around. Yeah, and I don't know where they came from.
Do they know that they're in Chicago and they're not supposed to be here, these
birds? Yeah, they know it. They know it. They're okay.
They survive the winter.
They build their nests in power lines to keep warm.
Oh, wow.
In cell towers.
Okay,
cell
but towers. Here again, this is just a terrific way to remind Chicagoans a little bit about who we are and where we come from.
I mean, many of our beer styles, the way that we design the portfolio is based on approachability, sessionability, and also looking at a full portfolio that focuses more on traditional continental styles. Another one of our beers is called H.H. Holmes, after the famous serial killer made infamous by the book
Devil in the White City.
Right. Exactly. Again, 1893 World's Fair. This is a ESB. It's a continental European style of beer. And then, you know, we mix it up a little bit. There are some German-style beers that we have. We really want to focus on some Belgian styles, but these are more traditional styles. So if you're a craft beer enthusiast or if you're new to the culture, you'll be able to find something.
Was there some pause or discussion about naming a beer H.H. Holmes? I mean, he is the darkest character Chicago may have ever produced.
That's true. I think it's more just a fanciful thing.
I want to, I want to try some. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, give me some of that.
I don't have that one today, but
do you have the brews brewed? Are these in existence?
Yeah, most of them are. We've prototyped over the last 2 years, and we continue to refine these beers and create new styles.
So, do you have a brick and mortar spot now?
Yes, our address is 821 West 63rd. It's right on the corner of Halstead and 63rd. So, this is a really important commercial node in the neighborhood of Englewood.
Yeah, what's it like there?
Starbucks is there. Whole Foods is there. It's a relatively new, 2 years old shopping center. Kennedy King is there. Kennedy King College is a part of the City Colleges of Chicago.
So geographically, straight down Halstead.
Straight down Halstead.
Half again as far, or just as far as you are from, say, Sox Park. as Sox Park is from the Loop then.
That's right.
Go down
right.
again, 63rd.
Yep, exactly. And there's a Green Line station right there. So
oh, nice.
And you can also take Divvy. Halstead is a bike route, so and the freeway is about a half mile away. So
do
it's
you
very easy to
worry
get
or think that people are going to hear south of Sox Park, I don't want to go there. I'm nervous about that. Talk about the neighborhood and getting people to come.
The neighborhood is actually really exciting. It's going through a period of renaissance and revitalization right now. That's one of the reasons why we thought it was important to locate Inglewood Brews in Inglewood. Our mission is about social, economic, and physical revitalization, and we really want to focus on the spirit, the soul, and the culture of the community.
How many people will you employ then when you guys give me your best case scenario?
So we are looking to hire up to 12. So there's kind of three areas where we'll be hiring. We're hiring specifically Inglewood residents, and we're also focusing on hard-to-hire populations, returning citizens, veterans, folks who need a little bump in their employment history. And most people don't think of microbreweries as a part of a continuum of careers in STEM or in manufacturing and industry. So that's kind of our goal, is to provide those opportunities.
Will you be in liquor stores? Can I get a growler? How can I acquire this stuff?
We will have beer in cans, packages, that way. And definitely we'll be selling in liquor stores and other places.
I want people to get, I got about a minute and a half left. Let's talk about your fundraiser.
Yes, so we are currently running a crowdsource campaign on the Indiegogo platform. We are raising $50,000 for a community tap room build. This is employing Inglewood residents for short-term employment and skill building to work alongside master craftsmen to design and build furniture and fixtures for the tap room.
Oh, nice. $50K is what you're looking for. How's it going?
It's going great so far. We're really encouraged by the outpouring of support. We just made $31,000, so we're about 60% of the way there.
Okay. So how do I, if I contribute, do I, what's in it for me?
Oh, there's so much fun stuff on the Indiegogo platform. We're offering a lot of really custom swag, t-shirts, tulip glasses, tasters, stickers, pins. We're also offering custom artwork, an opportunity for you to have ownership of the tap room by putting your name on a plaque that identifies you as one of our founding supporters of the tap room. There's also a number of beer experiences. So one of the prizes is you and 10 friends can have a private tour with beer of our tap room when we open.
The name of the brew is, the name of the company is Inglewood.
Inglewood Brews, B-R-E-W-S. You can find the link to our Indiegogo crowdsource campaign on our website, inglewoodbrews.com, or on the Indiegogo platform, search for Inglewood Brews.
If you're new to Chicago, Inglewood is with an E, Inglewood, E-N-G-L-E, Wood. Brews.com is the website.
That's correct.
Link to it there. Let's help this business out. I don't think I've tried the beer yet. Have I? I sampled it?
We did bring some in the last time.
Yes, we brought some for you today.
Oh, you did bring some in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's smoking pot these days. I'm just going to drink beer. So I will sample it after the news, maybe during the news.
Yeah.
But congratulations in advance. I'm really cheering for you guys.
Thanks so much, John. We appreciate it. Again, it's inglewoodbrews.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Inglewood Brews.
That's Leslie Roth, Steve Marchese. Congratulations. Good luck, guys. Let's stay in touch.
Thank you.
Thanks for your support.
Good morning. This is John Williams. And again, happy 2020. Happy new decade. Happy new year. I think next week it'll feel like back into the groove of things. Today is Thursday. I keep reminding myself. I literally woke up this morning to my alarm and thought, wait, is it Sunday? What is today? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just confused. I thought it was Monday as well today.
I don't want to dwell on this, but it'll be the third time I tell the story. So Steve comes in the other day.
Yeah, that went on a Monday.
And Steve walks in, all shaved and crisp and clean and clear. Didn't have to work that day.
Jordan Burnfield comes in about a little after me. I'm working on something. And I said, who are you today? And he goes, I'm working for you. And so I looked at the schedule, and
one of us gets to go home.
Yeah, well, Bertrand and Burnfield, if you look at the schedule, they kind of sound the same. And I looked before, thought I was working Monday. Turns out I had the day off.
So then is that a good thing? Like, hooray, I get the day off? Or do you feel like, crap, I just wasted half a day getting up and coming downtown?
Well, the good news was there was no traffic.
Yeah, right.
So I was home lickety-split.
Yeah.
So it was a gift.
I guess the reason I've been telling that story so many times,
How many times have you told the
just
story?
Just three, but really it's only January 2nd, so you're going to hear it a lot. But I guess because that's the sort of thing I would do.
It is.
I said to Brenda, holy cow, I'm so glad Steve did something like me.
I remember walking to the train with you one day, and you got halfway there and said, wait, I drove today.
Yeah, you've told that story too many times.
Mm-hmm. But the whole season has been too long, I think.
I agree.
Ready to get back to a normal.
Yeah, whatever that is. By the way, speaking of normal, so 20 things to look forward to in 2020. Somebody came up with that great idea, 2020 the year, come up with 20 things to look forward to. And they assigned that as a story to someone at CNN. They couldn't find 20 things. But they did find a few things that were interesting. So while they did 20, I won't read all of them to you. But we mentioned earlier the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo with five new sports, surfing, sports climbing, skateboarding, baseball, softball returns, and karate will be part of the Summer Games in Tokyo. And I just had the feeling, and they mentioned this in the article too, given how tech-savvy Tokyo is, that the opening is going to be pretty spectacular, that the games will be fun to look at.
That's exciting. I love the Olympics.
I do, too. And, you know, remember when they had the, where was the opening in 2008? Was that Beijing? The Beijing Games, right? Wasn't that Beijing?
Oh, my God. I don't
think
remember.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And remember this, so because you knew China. They got a billion people. And I think they had 500 million of them in the opening. It was just spectacular. It was spectacular. And then it was London after that, as I recall. And you thought, London, have you got game? Because China killed. And London's was fantastic, too. So it just seems like whatever the financial setback awaits whatever country does it, they don't care. They put on quite a show. The elections, of course, are this year. 2020 will be ever so critical to the United States and that way to the world. They also mentioned that 11 states will be holding gubernatorial elections this year. I'm surprised it's only 11, but 11 new governors. We'll see how those go. Number four on the CNN list, things to look forward to in 2020 is a new Mars mission. Not manned, but a new Mars mission. The new rover headed for Mars. It goes up in late July or early August. The Mars 2020 rover will join Curiosity, which is already there. The Mars 2020 rover is fully tricked out. It will have 23 cameras and two microphones to capture the sounds of the rover landing as well as the haunting, desolate Martian winds that follow. To me, that's really cool because the only sound you ever heard on the moon was Neil Armstrong or the astronauts. But to just hear the whoo, you could dial up and listen to Mars.
Will it be like a 24-hour feed?
I hope it will. Yeah, I would make
like
it that.
Like a webcam.
And then maybe in the distance you hear, pull up to number two. And you go, oh, my God, there's life. Or at least there's a drive-through. Here's what else is happening in 2020. The Washington Monument opens up again after 3 years being shut down.
Wow, I didn't realize it's been that long.
Yeah, no kidding. It seemed to me like I was there many years ago and it was shut down for work, but they've redone the elevators, they've redone security screening, and so it's the new and improved interior of the Washington Monument, the 555-foot obelisk at the heart of our nation's capital. There you can gaze out, like kings, at the tidy grid of humanity below. Everything should be back up and running for tourists in September.
Have you gone up in that?
I have not.
I don't go up in things. Like the Statue of Liberty is one, right?
How about the, you know, one that's kind of terrifying but awesome is the Arch in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Because you go way down and then you go up.
Oh, I did that when I was a kid.
I think I did that as a kid, too.
Yeah. Very cool.
And that thing blows over a lot. A lot of times people die.
What?
In the St. Louis Arch. It
I
falls
it
over to
Wait,
the ground.
What?
Yeah, a lot of times it just falls over. So
what?
I think, Steve, your apprehension about that is right. Justified.
It sways.
The thing that you go up there?
Yeah, the whole thing. It collapses. Falls over all the time.
What?
Number six on the list, TV like you've never seen it in 2020. Not only will 2020 see the launch of several new streaming services, I'm officially unable to keep track of all of this, but you have HBO Max. There's a new streaming service called Peacock, the NBC service. I've not heard of that until just now. There will be innumerable shows that will be rebooted and spinoffs. Lizzie McGuire is getting the reboot treatment on Disney Plus. Riverdale is spawning a spinoff with the CW's Katie Keene, and a Clueless reboot is floating around the schedule. Stephen King's The Outsiders is sure to please on HBO. Which one are you excited about over there, Ms. Garris? Was that Clueless?
I'm not sure. I don't like reboots like of those classic anything classic like Fuller House. I was not a fan of that idea.
Well, I think the level's pretty high because people either love the shows and or they remember the shows so fondly, even if they weren't all that fantastic. But then it's hard to achieve people's expectations. So it's dangerous territory, but it does seem like that's where TV shows go these days. Westworld fans, your long wait is over. Season 3 will premiere on HBO in the spring. By the way, there was also... And one of the reasons I was off mic a minute ago is I was just looking up Wonder Years news. Did you see what, I think this was BuzzFeed said about this, or Huffington Post for that matter. So here it is. Those who grew up watching the Wonder Years on television are experiencing an uncomfortable reminder about just how much time has passed since that iconic show first aired from 1988 to 1993. The series starring Fred Savage and Danica McKellar as Winnie, who you frequently see now, I believe, on Hallmark Channel movies.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, she's a math whiz. She wrote a book about mathematics.
Sat in our studio and reaffirmed my crush on her.
Yeah.
She was delightful, very smart, and she's a good enough actress.
I interviewed her for Barnes & Noble back then.
Oh, no kidding. When her book came out? Yeah. So Kevin Arnold and Winnie Cooper was set 20 years earlier, right? So the show is in 1988, but it was set in 1968. Writer Tim Urban noted on the Wait But Why website that might have seemed like a distant era at the time, but a series with the same concept launching today would cover 2000 to 2005. Although the article contained a series of other details about time, many Twitter users were struck by the Wonder Years part, including Washington Post political analyst Emily Guskin. People were remembering The Wonder Years going, yeah, but The Wonder Years was a great show, and it was set way back in the 1960s. Well, if Wonder Years came out now, it would be set in 2003 or 2005. So doesn't that make you feel old, I think, is the takeaway for some people on that. That's a little TV to look forward to in 2020, or at least we got there from the list from CNN. I'm not done with that, but we've got more to cover here. By the way, one of the pot stores in Chicago that opened up yesterday, the manager is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour, and I've got questions like, how much money did you make? Who showed up? Any interesting anecdotes or customers or stories? I'm kind of intrigued about what it was like in one of those places for about 18 hours. Glenn, this is John Williams. Welcome. What can we do for you? Good morning.
Hey, John, you were talking about, you know, going up into things, and you can tell when an era has changed because my mom took me there when I was probably 8 years old.
To the Arch?
And to the Arch. And at the time, she's not a big fan of the heights and stuff like that. Saw the elevator that you had to get into, saw that I wanted to go in, put me into the elevator, and then said, have a good time, and then walked away.
It's a tough call for a parent, right? Because you want to be with your kid, but you don't want to deny your kid, but you ain't getting in that thing, right?
Exactly. I mean, the idea that if that had happened now, I'm sure she would have been taken away, the DCFS had been called,
yes,
or something. She turned to the guy who was sitting in there with us at the time, going, keep an eye on him, bye. And it just stepped off the thing. Doors closed. I went to the top.
And, you know, and everybody lived. That's such an interesting observation, too, because you're right. We're so hypersensitive about these things these days. We don't let kids walk to the park by themselves. We don't think the parents are being neglectful. Can you imagine today the story about, so the parent just put a kid in with strangers in the Arch and let him go? It's 8 years old. That's a crime.
Yeah. Exactly. She would have. I would have been visiting my mom behind the bar.
Do you remember the? Do you remember the experience? Was it fun? Did you enjoy looking out?
I sure did. I mean, I think I was more, I got to the top, I looked out, you know, saw the view, you know, because at that age I was pretty small, had to jump up to look out the little windows. But I think I was more anxious about, I better get down there because I don't want my mom to be mad.
Oh, that's funny. Funny. And your mom was, and then you ran into her arms and said, Mom, it was fun, right?
Exactly, and she just kept on saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I couldn't do it, I couldn't do it. And I'm like, I had a good time, everything's good, bye. You know, let's go to Six Flags or something like that.
But, you know, there's plenty of people, though, who, suppose your mom gets in that little elevator and says, okay, I'm going to go with you. And you go down, which is creepy, and then you go up. Yeah. And some people physically have a reaction in circumstances like that. If your mom wigged out, that's not doing you or anybody a favor.
Exactly. And I do remember, I mean, I don't know if they've modernized it or not, but those cars did, they were very herky-jerky all the way up where they would rotate and everything. So I could see, because I always liked the heights, she never was a big fan. I remember going up to the Hancock building and her hand crossed.
Just lost Glenn, but thanks for the call, Glenn. Yeah, it's an interesting story. And I'm glad that it didn't tip over for Glenn, because a lot of times the arch just falls over flat on its side.
Would you just quit it?
The winds get so strong, it just completely falls into the Mississippi.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Into the Mississippi River, and people die.
I thought you were saying that the elevator falls.
No, the whole arch just slams over on its side. It's you can feel the sway
John.
In that thing, and that happens a lot. It just doesn't get reported in the mainstream media.
You're making this up, right? I'm just confirming. Radio silence.
Somebody texted this in when we were talking about trends in 2020. Tell me if you've heard this and if you know what they're even talking about. Hey, John, when signing and dating legal documents in the new year, do not use 20 as the year 2020 with an apostrophe, how we abbreviate. So you would have said 1/2/19 last year, say, right? But they say you should not do 1/2/20 now, or just 1/2/20. Say March 3rd, 2020, being written as 3/3/20 could be modified to 3/3/2017 or 3/3/2018 or any year. Protect yourself. Do not abbreviate 2020. I don't know what that.
What's the harm?
I don't know. I don't know how somebody would change the year and somehow gain an advantage
right.
on you.
I'm writing a check to you.
Right.
For something you bought for me this week.
And by the way, what's a check? But keep going.
And you're
going
to backdate it?
I could see how that would complicate life for you, but I don't know how that makes me vulnerable.
You say, what's a check? That whole thing about, I'm still writing 2019, you know? That's going to go away completely soon.
Yeah, we ran out of checks the other day, and I went to the bank and ordered more checks, and he looked at me like, really? I said, well, just get me a box, just a box. It'll last me for a very long time. Hey, Mary, you're on WGN. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, John. I just wanted to give one of our, what happened to us when we went to the Arch. We had three fairly little children at the time, and we all got into the little thing that you got into. The car, and our knees were touching one another, and we got halfway up, and it was stuck. And it was stuck for 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
And I kept saying to my husband, oh, my God. And he said, please, be quiet. These children don't need to be afraid.
Yeah, no kidding. You're freaking out, but you don't want kids freaking out.
Nope, we didn't. But we had a good time, and they still talk about it, and they're in their 50s now.
Well, did the arch collapse or fall over on its side when you were in at that time?
No.
Yeah,
someone just texted in, yes, it falls over all the time, but it's like one of those jumping things outside of a gas station. It falls down, but comes right back up again.
It bounces right back up. I mean, it's no big deal.
But no.
It's very scary.
That might have been scarier.
Hey, Mary, thanks for the call.
Stopped.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
yeah,
bye.
We don't need that. Here's another example, though, of where if you feel like you can't do this or don't want to do this, do not be a hero and do not let people shame you into doing something. We were on a Kelly Cruise in Alaska. Visit kellycruises.com to find out about a trip Brenda and I are leading to Istanbul, Ephesus, Athens, Santorini, Dubrovnik, and Venice. KellyCruises.com. We were on a trip of theirs years ago. We were in Alaska. They had a zip line that was on a mountaintop or hill, and we ziplined over the top of these giant fir trees. So it's this mountainous, kind of beautiful, rugged area with these gorgeous, thick fir trees. And from the tower they built, you look down on it. It's spectacular. And you zip line over them. Vroom. And the zip line went about a half a mile or a quarter mile. It was really long, with little stop stations along the way. So, whee! And you'd go for a ways, and then you'd come to a platform, and a guy'd be there, okay, and then, whee, you'd go again. There's a moment of truth the first time you do that, because the way you zip line, as you know, is you kind of just lean back, stick your feet and butt in the air, and off you go. And you just keep thinking, okay, I hope you kids know what you're doing that are buckling me into this thing, because I'm not going to survive the fall. And there was a person in our group who didn't really want to do it, but did want to do it and decided they could do it. I don't even remember now if it was a man or a woman. I think it was a woman. Pretty sure it was a woman. And so, whee, she goes and zip lines from the one station to the other. And when she got to the first station in a series of stops along the way, she said, that's it, I'm done. And they said, lady, we can't zip line you back up. There's only one way down. She says, I'm not going. I'm done. This is it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I mean, she was not going to do that anymore. They said the other option, and I was thinking helicopter, but they said the other option is you climb down this tree, which means you're back. I mean, think about that. That's kind of terrifying, too. Have you ever climbed down something? That's really hard. They said, we'll bring some guys up, and they will hook you up, and you're going to walk down this tree. And we were way in the sky. She said, better that than the other way around. And she climbed down the tree. She should not have gotten up the tree to begin with, is the moral of that story. John, don't checks expire after a certain time? I thought you had 1 year to cash it. I can't help you with that. But this is another note here, and I'm sorry I don't have all the answers. You folks are asking tough questions today. I mentioned that President Trump might commute Rod Blagojevich's sentence, and Blago from jail posted a piece in Newsmax essentially encouraging the president to do so. 630 texted in and said, I don't think President Trump can pardon anyone since he was impeached. Elif, you got to look that up.
You don't have to look that up.
I have never heard that as a sort of ramification, a consequence, if you will, of getting impeached.
I know it's not true, because Bill Clinton got in trouble with some of his late pardons in his term.
And he was impeached.
Remember Mark Rich?
Sure, sure. And really, Donald Trump is today essentially in the same boat that Rod Blagojevich was, or that Bill Clinton was.
Right. He's no less president than he was before he was impeached.
And while Clinton survived the trial, the worst of it was the fact that he was impeached. Well, Donald Trump is in that same boat, so thank you for that clarification. And while Blagojevich was writing that what's happening to Donald Trump is sort of overturning the democratic process, this is the freely elected president, 815 texted in and said, please tell Blagojevich that impeachment is in fact the ultimate of democracy. The only way to remove a king is to kill him. A president can only be impeached by a majority in both houses. It is the ultimate will of the people. It is not anti-democratic. Fair enough. But remember that last week we were also talking about the fact that your Uber and Lyft rides to downtown and from downtown now carry a $3 surcharge each way. You already had one before, but wow, did it go up a lot. And so now coming downtown, $3. You're going to go back home after that party or thing, that's another $3. $6 for your round trip for an Uber ride downtown. And that's seen as a sort of congestion mitigation policy by the mayor. Actually, that's a fundraiser for the city, is what that is. I suppose congestion is an issue, but I'll bet you if we were flush, we wouldn't be doing this. I don't think this is principally about congestion. That's how you sell it. Anyway, John.
Oh, I think we would.
You think we would either way?
I think there's definitely a congestion. You're the congestion complainer.
I am certainly that.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't mean that that's the reason they did it.
Okay. I'll put it this way,
Steve. I see more congestion with Uber and Lyft in the neighborhoods than I do downtown.
Downtown, right.
And that's where it's most expensive.
We were driving our kids downtown last Saturday. I don't know what day it was anymore. And we're on the Edens. My transmission went out.
Oh.
Like, it's all of a sudden. So I had to pull over, and they got an Uber from Old Orchard.
Oh, wow. What'd that run you?
Didn't look.
Yeah. Friends of ours were downtown visiting a friend who lives in the South Loop. So say, think about this. Soldier Field, just on the other side of Lakeshore Drive. Friends of ours live in a condo there. So now you know where it is. People missed the train. And by missed the train, I think they were having so much fun, they said, skip it, we'll get an Uber. They didn't even try to get to the train. But that's fine. But then they live in LaGrange Park in Western Springs out in the western suburbs. So they took an Uber to do that, which is, that's a funny call to me. I have not ever done an Uber that far.
How much was it?
$1,000.
No, because, I mean, I don't know if I've done an Uber downtown or to the north side, but it's, you can do it sometimes for $20 or
so. Oh, no kidding. Yeah. That's fair to me.
Right.
I figured that's a $50 bill. I don't know. I actually sent my friend Chris a note and said, I don't mean to pry, but could you tell me what that costs from downtown all the way out the Eisenhower to Mannheim Road, turn left, I don't know, or maybe they took 55, but, you know, that's on a good day, 30 minutes. And I think that would be very expensive. I don't know how the Uber driver feels. If you're an Uber driver and then you say, great, now I'm in the western suburbs. Maybe my phone will ping here, but I got to turn around and come all the way back, and maybe I'm deadheading on the way back. John, my son took an Uber share from western suburbs to downtown. It's very same thing I'm talking about, the cost of that. This is the reverse trip now, from the western burbs to downtown. They stopped in Cicero for the second fare. There was a cluster of people in the street who were buying drugs curbside. The Uber stopped, and the dealer hops in with my son. This is the last Uber share into the city he will ever take. You don't know who is getting in the car with you. Now, I don't know if you've had an experience like that. I've wondered how the Uber drivers and Lyft drivers feel about that, period. I mean, sometimes there are people whose company you don't want to share. Forget about ride share. Just those people themselves, if it's a single person ride, sometimes you go, ah, man, all right, here we go. Here we go. I cleaned the car for this. Okay, here we go. And if you're the second passenger when they're sharing the ride, yeah, you kind of takes your chances, to say nothing of the amount of time that it will take. Back to 2020 and trends that you and I can look forward to in this coming year. 1 hour from now, by the way, we visit with Jonah Rapino, who is the director of marketing at NewMed Medical Marijuana in Old Town. So that's not the shop I was at yesterday, one of the pot shops in town, which is selling the recreational weed. I don't know if they're going to answer this question, but I'm sure going to ask it. How much money did you make yesterday? Somebody who knew somebody told me that at the pot shop near me, they were going to make $1.3 million the first day, first 24 hours, 1.3.
And is it all cash here?
Yes. Which is maybe explains the police presence, because at least that first day, there were cruisers everywhere and just cops stationed at that store. I'll bet there was 10 police officers in the immediate area. Yeah, but I'll bet they're not going to get that every day, Steve. Obviously, Colorado and Michigan and California have figured this out, but it's new to us.
So my daughter was texting one of her friends yesterday, and Emma's like, oh, yeah, she's going to go get in line and go and buy some pot. I said, oh, ask her to get me some really mellow gummies. That's all. I just want to try that. Would you do that for me?
Yeah.
And then she texted back, yeah, we're not going to go anymore.
Why? Because of the request or the line?
I don't know, but it sounded like she didn't want to go get something for some dad.
Well, you don't have to announce that.
I know.
Milk, eggs, low-dose marijuana gummies.
Here, Mr. Bertrand, I don't think that's a sentence you would have thought of. It.
Yeah. In 2020, also the opening of the Yahoo Time Capsule. Yahoo invited people to place digital artifacts of what life was like back then in a virtual time capsule. Participants uploaded tens of thousands of videos and pictures and poems and works of art and other submissions of varying value. And the final product was handed over to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. for safekeeping. The plan is to crack open digitally the capsule and reveal what we put in there long ago. This is the Yahoo Time Capsule. Do you know when the stuff was put into the Yahoo Time Capsule? 2006. We have no patience anymore. 2006. I wonder what life was like 13 years ago? 14 years ago? Okay, that's a thing. There will be another total eclipse. Remember how fun the Great American Eclipse was in 2017, except that it wasn't great? There's a great South American eclipse coming next year. So folks will be congregating in Argentina and the region to stare in the brief darkness December 14th of this year. Earth gets another total eclipse. There are some historic anniversaries this year. January 10th, the 100th anniversary of the Treaty of Versailles. That ended World War I 100 years ago in 8 days. September 6th marks the 400 years since the sailing of the Mayflower 400 years ago. November 28th, 500 years ago, Magellan became the first European to cross the Atlantic to the Pacific through the Straits of Magellan. He must have been very flattered going through that thing, going, wow!
You guys, that's so nice.
Oh my God, you stop. You didn't have to. Seriously? And December also marks the 250th anniversary of the birth of Beethoven, 250 years ago this year. 2020 will also see new hope for peanut allergy sufferers. Think about this. Every year, the Cleveland Clinic counts down the most anticipated advances in medical technology for the coming year. And one of the 2020 contenders this year is a new immunotherapy treatment for peanut allergies that was recently given the go-ahead by the FTC. The treatment will not eliminate the allergy altogether, but it will train people's immune systems to avoid serious reactions. Hooray for that. I don't have much more information about that for you, although I can give you the name of the product. What is it called? It's called Palforzia. Palforzia. If you know somebody with peanut allergies, Palforzia.
Is it an immunization?
It's a new immunotherapy treatment for peanut allergies.
Oh, so it's like a drug you take.
Evidently.
To
given
change
the,
it.
And it says given the go-ahead by the FTC. So I don't know if that means they're going to be, you know, trying it out, or if in fact it'll be commercially available. I think it's going to be commercially available, Mary.
How much are you going to pay the people to try it out that have peanut allergies?
They're going to say,
I'm not doing it.
I'll bet you're right, right, right. What could go wrong?
My son would say he's allergic, and he would say, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but think about this, Mary. Suppose it does work.
How are you going to know if it works?
Well,
until you take the plunge?
Humor me. Assume that the treatments, the testing phase has already happened.
Right.
And it's been given the stamp of, okay, wouldn't that be a godsend for your family?
It would. I could eat, you know, peanuts in front of my son. I could make my peanut butter cookies in
the house.
Is it
that bad for you guys? Really?
Oh, yeah. He just doesn't. He can. It smells and, you know. But
really?
He has to touch his face or touch, you know, something with peanuts before he actually.
Well, that still sounds pretty sensitive
up.
To me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. It's very hard for a lot of people.
Okay, so write that down.
Families.
P-A-L, your pal.
P-A-L.
F-O-R. Z-I-A.
Z-I-A.
Palforzia.
Who thinks of these names?
The same people that do craft brews, I think.
Exactly.
An innovative year in Dubai, 2020. The glitzy Arabian city will host the 2020 World Expo. Hey, there's going to be a World Expo this year for half a year. It's like the World's Fair, 192 countries showcasing the newest in art, technology, science, countless other spheres. 2020 will center around a huge, specially built indoor-outdoor area between Dubai and the northern border of neighboring Abu Dhabi. The electric trucks are a thing of the future coming in 2020. You'll see more of those. They also remind us, we knew about this, but I haven't thought about it for a while. The Field of Dreams is going to host a Major League Baseball game in Dyersville, Iowa. August 13th, the Yankees.
And the White Sox.
Yeah. In the middle of that dang old cornfield where they made the movie, the Field of Dreams. They're going to play a Major League Baseball game there. I think that's a great, fun, terrific idea. I don't know why they're doing it, But if they want to do that, that's good for Iowa. And I guess it's the akin to the Winter Classic, which you saw yesterday, which we had in Soldier Field once upon a time. They're going to have it in Target Field in a couple of years.
Yeah, but that's going to hold a lot more people.
Yeah, those are stadiums. In fact, that'll hold more people. In this case, it's going to be they're going to build a special little mini stadium for the White Sox and the Yankees in a cornfield in Iowa. Left field line, 185 feet. I mean, it's just crazy. Kidding about that. I suppose it'll be to MLB standards and dimensions. High-speed rail. I didn't know this. Virgin Trains USA will begin constructing in late 2020 a $4.8 billion high-speed rail from California to Las Vegas. It'll go from Victorville, California, to Las Vegas. Doesn't say here how fast it's going to go or how long it will take, but it'll be one of those high-speed things. It'll be just under, I'll bet you it'll be over $5 billion. They're advertising less than right now, but that's the way those things usually go. A few things to look forward to in 2020. I don't have a response to this. 630 said, doesn't the decade end at the end of 2020? There was no year zero, but year one.
Is he going to lose his pension?
I'm not involved in this conversation. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. All I know is it's 2020. It's January 2nd. It's 10:47 in the morning. You're able to sit up and take fluids. Life is good. Don't borrow any extra heartache. 708, hey, John, please talk about, in fact, a few people have mentioned to me, Steve, what their experience was like in the Arch in St. Louis. 630 said, it is still herky-jerky when you ride that thing. 708 said, John, someone from the St. Louis Tourism Bureau is on their way to your station right now. I've been reporting that that thing is kind of herky-jerky inside, and with the wind, sometimes it just falls right over. The mainstream media isn't covering that significantly, but then this person at 708 said, please talk about how the glass base of the observation deck on Willis Tower breaks and people fall through all the time. Mainstream media does not report that either. I don't know why you're not covering that, Steve. You'd think that would be something that would get your attention more often.
You're ticking me off a little bit.
I know. And then David sent this. In fact, a few of you had said this, and I'm serious about this now. I do need your help. John, could you ask your guest from the pot shops, a couple of them are coming on in the next hour to tell us how business was yesterday. If the following comment is true, you can answer this for me right now, 312-981-7200, but I haven't thought about this. I was at a gun shop yesterday and was informed that if you purchase pot, you will not be able to get or renew a current FOID card. The pot purchase uses your driver's license and gets reported to the state, so you will not be able to purchase a gun legally if you buy pot.
There's no way that's true.
David said, hey, John, here's a fun fact. If you avail yourself of the recreational marijuana, you lose the ability to buy a gun as well as the ability to become a pilot, private or commercial. These truths are circulating out there. And I don't know if they're true or not.
Well, it can't be true. It's legal to smoke marijuana. So if you're doing something perfectly legal, they're not going to stop you from doing something else legal, right?
I'm with you on that. I know, though, Steve, that it's not federally endorsed. So maybe a gun ownership or a pilot's license fall under some federal jurisdiction, and it voids the opportunity to do that. But if that were the case, we would have heard about that 1,000 times. How many people want to own a gun? How many people want to smoke marijuana? That hasn't come up yet.
I don't know. Also, I think there's no good. I don't think it could be legal that there'd be a registry of people who buy the product.
Well, they're using your. Yeah.
You don't know. 7-Eleven doesn't tell the government what you buy.
Yeah, but you're not buying. I mean, marijuana is
legal.
A different nut.
It's legal.
What did you think of the lieutenant governor
like
showing
that
up? At first, my jaw dropped a little bit, but that's because. For 60 years on Earth, what we're doing as a state now was completely illegal. It was vilified. My God, kids, don't do that. And now there's the lieutenant governor of Illinois in line early in the morning. Woohoo, I got my gummies.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I didn't, but that's just because I don't think the state should be in the business of endorsing drug sales to people to make money. Shane is going to help us out on this a little bit. He's on line one. I believe it's a he. Hey, Shane, you're on WGN. How are you?
That's Stan, but that's okay.
Hi, Stan. Thanks for calling in.
Just a monotone. Yeah, no problem. Hey, no, I got guys that do the gun classes all the time. I'm a card carrying, concealed carry myself. If you have a medical marijuana card, you will be okay within the state because you have a medical doctor's okay. If you are just a recreational user, they will tag you, and the next time you go for a purchase and say you are not a user, you will lose your FOID. You will not be able to purchase anything, along with if you lie and say it, and that's a lie on a federal form. You will also lose it on that count, too.
So it's a federal form?
Yes.
See, this shows whenever I'm this confident, I'm always wrong.
I'm not sure you are. I still don't believe this. I mean, we're not asking the question properly then. Are you telling me that if I buy marijuana at a recreational shop legally, I will not be able to renew my FOID card?
Correct.
It's a state card, I think.
The state medical card is one difference compared to a recreational user.
But is this a question that was before it was legal and now is different now that it's after it's legal too?
I don't know. I understand your point, Steve.
Well, if you went and tried to get a FOID card 2 years ago and said, yeah, I smoke pot for fun, then I could see why they wouldn't give you a card.
Yeah, all right. So suppose answer me this then, because I still think I'm asking this wrong, Shane. And by the way, my phone lines are lighting up, so I think I'm going to get another opinion on this. But suppose I've never used marijuana before, and now for the first time I legally use marijuana. You're telling me that that would preclude my getting a FOID card after the fact?
Yes, because if you answer yes to it, that drowns you out, cancels your ability to get it at that point. And if you lie and they see that you registered someplace, well, then you're blind.
What's your estimated probability of accuracy on that?
Right now, I'm going to say 95%. Like I said, I've got two gentlemen that teach concealed carry courses, and we've gone over that too many times already.
I just don't think you register when you go to buy a gummy today.
Well, yeah, what sort of registration takes place? I mean, you're a gun guy. You're not a pot guy. I'm going to talk to one in a half an hour, but they don't take your name and number when you buy marijuana legally, do they?
There's a lot of places they use the scan on the back of the license, the barcode.
Yeah.
They just scan that and they get all the information.
I'm sorry. Just don't. I know you're confident in your feelings, but it seems to me like this would be one of the things that would be addressed because this would drive people to continue to buy it illegally.
Well, let's do this. I'm going to talk to them in a couple of minutes and ask them about the tracking of people the way you're suggesting. I know you 100% believe what you say, and Shane, I know less than you do, but allow me just a little skepticism, and I'm going to look into this further. Okay.
Very good.
Hey, Shane, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Okay, that's crazy if that's true. So if you had your druthers, gun owners, which will it be? If you had your druthers, pot owners, you get one or the other, but you can't have both.
And just imagine if you get a little paranoid when you're high and now you know the government's got your name.
I drink alcohol. I don't own a gun, but I can't imagine the fact that I had a Manhattan last night should somehow preclude my ability to exercise my Second Amendment right. That's insane. And it shouldn't work the other way around either.
I agree with you.
Ed, you're on WGN Radio. What do you know, Ed? You're on the air.
Hi. Well, you know, the gentleman before me was, I think, partially correct. The form that's filed when you purchase a gun is a federal form. And there is a line, there's a line on the form that basically says something to the order, are you an illegal user of marijuana or drugs, other drugs?
Illegal.
Okay. And then basically, I think the state law says there's a portion in the state law that says that anyone using marijuana in the state of Illinois is not considered an illegal user. So, therefore, if you're filling out that form, you are not an illegal user of marijuana, even though it's a federal form. However, if you cross state lines, you do become illegal and you're subject to all the laws, whether you're bringing it in or taking it out.
All right, but if you don't break that law and have bought it legally in Illinois, then previously you would have been an illegal user, and you don't want to lie on the form, as he said, but you also don't want to honestly report that.
Dave has Facebook messaged me a story from WEEK. Illinois State Police, quote, "The Illinois State Police will not revoke firearms owners' identification cards based solely on a person's legal use of adult cannabis."
Based on their legal use of adult cannabis.
I misread. Based on their legal use of adult. I'm sorry. Based on their legal use of adult use cannabis. Yes. So what they're saying is if you're of an age, a legal age, and you buy cannabis legally, you're not going to lose your FOID card.
Ed, that jives with what you're telling us, right?
That's exactly what I was saying. And I think if you look further into the law there, it also talks about the moving either of guns or marijuana or both across state lines, then you become all those particular transactions become illegal, and then therefore you are subject to the revocation of your rights to own a gun in the state of Illinois.
Well, then think about this, Ed. So suppose I've got marijuana that I legally bought in Chicago, and I go to a state nearby where it's not legal. If I get busted there, then maybe now I do lose my FOID card down the road.
That's my understanding as far as what one of the supposed gun site blogs was saying is that is in fact the situation, that you would lose it if you go across state lines, because then you become an illegal user, and therefore on that federal form you are an illegal user.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm out of time. I really appreciate the call. Thanks for helping us out today, Ed.
Take care.
Yep, you have a good day. Well, I hope that helps those of you who at least have been hearing that other version of the story. I think that does shed some light on this. This is John Williams here weekdays from 9 to noon on social media, WGN King John. In a couple of minutes, Andrew Bailey will join us. Columbia Care Market Director. Later we'll visit with the Director of Marketing of another one of the legal pot shops in the state, NewMed Medical Marijuana in Old Town. And I just got a ton of texts from people who said, it's not as simple as you guys make it sound about having a FOID card and purchasing legally marijuana in Illinois. I haven't read the law on exactly how it's written, and I don't know what it's like at these points of retail. I'll ask some questions in this hour. But that's just crazy if it even complicates either of those transactions. You ought to be able to buy a gun, and you ought to be able to buy marijuana. You ought to be able to buy marijuana at a gun stop. I mean, if it's legal, it's legal. Heck, they sell liquor at gas stations. I mean, I don't like the sound of that, but that happens too. If it's a legal product, you ought to be able to purchase it conveniently. And if some of these places are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a day, I wonder if some of the towns that said no to it are now going, oh, really? Because they're going to have how much money for the police department or whatever it else would throw off in taxes? I mean, that's a lot of cash. But again, yesterday was a weird day. Another question I have, and maybe you can answer for me, 312-981-7200 is, I wonder what the quality of the material is, of the products are, right? Like the first lady that came out of that Sunnyside shop on Clark that I talked to, first purchaser arguably in the state of Illinois. Everybody was going through the lines at 6 a.m., so I don't know if they know exactly who the first purchaser was. But she came out and she had edible chocolates, she had the flour, the buds, and then she had some pre-rolled joints.
I think it was the lieutenant governor, correct?
Who?
You might have said first lady.
Oh, no, I meant the first lady. It was a female.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if the governor and first lady are availing themselves of the new law or not. They probably already have a connection, but I wonder how good the product is. A buddy of mine who's already been smoking weed for a while, I said to him, are you going to change? Are you going to go legal now, or are you just going to stay with your guy? He did not honestly answer the question. Joe wanted to jump in here before we go to our guest. Real quick, Joe, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, Happy New Year. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a CNC guy, conceal and carry, and my license expired on the 2nd of December, and the Illinois State Police is so backed up, they can't even answer the phone, and I've been told that Pritzker doesn't have enough people working on the conceal and carry licenses, and I'm trying to find out what the heck is taking so long. Maybe you can find out or call somebody or have somebody call in to know what's going on. Happy New Year.
Okay, before you go, though, before I go on this, I will do this for you because it's obviously an area of confusion. So
yes.
You're trying to get your FOID card renewed, is that it?
No. I got my third card. I'm trying to get my conceal and carry card renewed because it was expired on the 2nd of December, and I sent my paperwork in, you know, as soon as I could. So with the word that I heard was Pritzker purposely doesn't have enough people working on it because he doesn't want people to get their concealed carries.
Right. He's not pro-gun anyway. So this doesn't have anything to do with marijuana, but still, you just want to know about that. I will try and track that down for you.
Thanks, bud.
Okay, thanks for the call, Joe. Give me a couple of days. I'll have LFL do all the hard work. Drew Bailey's on a phone line. Drew, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Doing great. Happy New Year.
Likewise. You're the marketing director, is that correct, of Columbia Care?
Yes, sir.
Where's your shop located?
We're in Jefferson Park here in Chicago, 4758 North Milwaukee Ave, at the corner pretty close to Milwaukee Ave in Lawrence.
Milwaukee and Lawrence. So was yesterday then your first day legal pot sales too?
Yes, indeed. So we've been a medical facility up till now, serving medical patients here in Illinois. Yesterday was our first day of adult use sales.
Can you tell me how much money you guys grossed or netted yesterday?
Without getting into specifics of the exact money, I can say that yesterday we saw about a 400% increase in transactions from what we were accustomed to in the month of December. And our sales were up about 250% as well. So absolutely just a tremendous turnout.
Could you tell me what you normally did in December?
Again, without giving exact specifics of numbers, just percentage-wise, about a quarter of the people in this is what we saw in December compared to what we saw yesterday.
I know, and I'm being a little coy with you here because I'm just kind of fascinated, though. Is it six figures? Did you guys do hundreds of thousands of dollars of business? I've heard some of your competitors are doing that.
Yeah, again, without specifics, it was tremendously successful for us, a huge increase, but I can't get into those exact numbers.
You expect that today and tomorrow and going forward, or was yesterday kind of a one-off?
I think yesterday was a real celebration in Illinois and in Chicago in particular. With it being a holiday, a lot of people wanted to participate in that celebration. So I think we saw a huge spike yesterday. That being said, we have a healthy line up the block outside of our store today as we speak. So I think it's going to continue for a little while here as everybody celebrates this change.
The store near me, they said the average purchase was $100 to $200. Are people spending about that much at your place?
Yeah, people, I think, are trying to max out what they can with the limits placed on them as far as what they can purchase. But after waiting in line all that time, I think everybody wants to sort of maximize that experience.
Yeah, if you're there, you might as well buy as much as you can. Not only is it a cash issue for people, but it's also the law doesn't, I can't buy $1,000 worth of stuff. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. So the way the law is set up, it's going to have limits whether you're in state or out of state. And, we'll always make sure everyone stays within those limits.
And it is cash only, right? You can't use your debit card. Is that correct?
Well, we also offer a CNC card, which is the Columbia National Credit. So it's a way for individuals to be able to have a cashless experience where they can sign up for an account and they can use that as a payment method in the store as well.
Oh, like a Venmo, something like that?
Sort of. It's, essentially a card that you could use at any Columbia Care. So we are located nationwide. So if you were to be in another state, it would be an option for you to pay there as well.
What do you do with all of the cash?
So we make sure that we count everything every night and we're on top of, pickups and making sure everything's secure. So just keeping a close eye on everything is part of the daily routine.
Is there any movement? I thought there had been some progress in banks working with you in credit cards and things. There's been no movement toward that at all?
I think we are slowly moving towards that. We're moving in the right direction, but we're just still waiting for everything to be ironed out and rolled out in a really productive way.
What were the biggest sellers on day one? What were people buying?
I'd say it was safe to say edibles were a very popular choice. I think some of the concentrates, some of the vaporizers, the cartridges and the disposable pens were all very popular sellers for us and I assume most other locations.
But you didn't say pre-rolled joints. That wasn't the top seller, huh? That wasn't the biggest one?
No. I'd say the edibles and the cartridges and vapes were most popular for us.
You know, that's interesting because the vaping thing has really been tragic in a lot of ways. And I think in no small part because people were vaping illegally acquired THC with no quality control. There's probably been a real market for a safer marijuana vape, right?
I agree with you. Yeah, I think the convenience factor is very tough to overcome. So a lot of people are really drawn to that method for consumption. And that's one great thing about the dispensaries in Illinois. Anything that we carry at Columbia Care is going to be thoroughly tested by a third party so we can ensure that there's no questionable vitamin E acetate or any agents in there that anybody would be surprised by.
How do you dictate or what dictates the price? How do you set that?
So for the price, we find that we're very competitive with the entire market and industry within Illinois. It's something that we're constantly addressing and making sure we're staying competitive, and it's a topic of conversation that is perpetually ongoing.
Yeah,
but we're trying to make sure everything, you know, remains fair and doesn't it become too much of a burden on anybody.
So, you know, a lot of businesses like to keep an email list or things like that to market to people. Do you have, and it came up earlier that there was some sort of registry, do you keep a record of who buys from you?
So by law, we cannot retain that information. So we verify IDs when individuals come into the dispensary. But as far as that, unless it's something they voluntarily want to sign up for our email list through our website, colcare.com, it's not something we retain, so it would really be up to the individual purchaser.
Drew Bailey's on a phone line, Columbia Care Market Director in Jefferson Park. This is one of the new pot shops. They were a medical dispensary. I guess all of them were before, but now they're obviously selling the recreational marijuana. But, Drew, there's a concern in our listeners that by showing my license, I am allowing the state to track me and keep me from getting a gun or anything else. You're telling me that doesn't happen? As far as you're concerned, is the retail point you're not doing that?
So, yeah, as far as we're concerned, like I said, within the rules and regulations, we're making sure that we check valid IDs. We're not retaining information of those customers or purchasers after the fact to the point where that information is retained on site or anything.
But do you send that to the state or any agency in the state in any form? Like, you're checking to see if I'm legally able to purchase it with my ID. That's fine. But then are you telling does anybody else get that information that I bought marijuana from you?
No. So in our traceability system, it basically will just show up as a retail purchase. There won't be any personal data connected to it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. I mean, this is just kind of new for a lot of us, and I think people are fairly apprehensive if they – are you familiar with that sort of confusion out there, Drew? People worry that if I buy marijuana, I have to show my ID, and if I show my ID, I won't be able to get my FOID card down the road. Are you familiar with that concern?
Absolutely, yeah. We get a lot of these questions every day, and I think this is a new experience for a lot of us. So we're just trying to make sure that we're all working together and figuring out these answers together.
So you're taking the list for the registration. Do you then monitor that to make sure someone doesn't jump back in line and buy more than they're supposed to?
Yeah, we have a pretty nice team here on site. We have a lot of security support, so we're able to monitor that and just make sure that we're abiding within, the rules and regulations and everyone's being contained to their limits.
Wait a minute, what's the rule? I mean, if I buy marijuana, I can only buy so much per purchase. How long do I have to wait before I come back again?
Well, typically what we're seeing thus far is with our lines, once someone gets through, even if they were to try to get back in line currently with the volume that we're seeing, most likely someone's not going to be able to go back through the line.
Yeah, right. So, but that doesn't answer the question. Now, if I were able to, does the law keep me from making an additional purchase the next day or that day?
So the way that we're operating is, and from talking to most of the consumers yesterday, if someone was to want to do that, they would most likely be going to another dispensary rather than trying to just rerun their limit. You can't just continually get back in line and just keep coming through the process. So
I know you don't speak for the state here, Drew. I'm just trying to figure this out. But so if I went to your store today, could I go back there tomorrow?
Yes, you could come back and see us tomorrow.
And the day after that?
Yeah, so the limits that are placed are basically for that day and for the location and for the purchase. So once it rolls over to the next day, we could see somebody back again.
Do you guys advertise?
We have our website that we advertise through. Currently, through the medical program, the advertising was a little bit sticky in terms of making sure we were doing everything within rules and regs. So going into the adult use market, I think a lot of that's going to change. And you will see more marketing and advertising from Columbia Care. But right now, we're really concentrated on just making sure we have the support to serve everybody coming out and are referring them to the website for menus, product availability, and any updates.
You don't have a jingle yet, huh, for the radio?
No, maybe you could help us with that.
Oh, trust me, there's a bunch of people down the hall that will be calling you just as soon as I hang up, and they're going to want to... Actually, I'm not sure if they are... And no. Plenty of salespeople at this radio station would be happy to do business with you. I don't know what this radio station or company's policy is about that. Do you know, Drew, is it legal for you guys to advertise on radio and TV? I suppose you could, right?
Again, a lot of that is starting to change now with the rollout of adult use. So typically, any advertising was really done to further the program and to speak to the medical program. But going forward into 2020, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more advertising and printed media, online, radio as well.
630 texted in and said, John, you guys are talking about showing your ID when you buy marijuana. All they do is card you. It's like entering a bar. It's just to make sure you're, say, old enough. Is that the essence of it there, Drew?
Correct.
You're not checking for past convictions or anything else?
Correct. Correct. We're scanning IDs to make sure that they're valid IDs and that the purchasers are of age.
Did you run out of product yesterday?
No, we didn't. We've been preparing for this for quite a few months now, so we made sure that we had everything on hand we were anticipating patients were going to be looking for or consumers would be looking for. So there were a few specific items, maybe an edible or two, that ran out and we were able to replace with something new. So we maintained our stock throughout the day yesterday.
Describe your customers for me. Who came through the door yesterday?
So, again, we don't retain that information, so it would be more anecdotal.
I'll take that.
It was a pretty broad range. It was really great to see. I think, again, it was a celebratory day here in Illinois for a lot of people. So we saw a lot of individuals who were coming out, huge broad range of ages, to be part of the experience. So not necessarily to get what they were purchasing, but to be a part of the experience and a part of the history that was made yesterday.
There were lines yesterday in Canton, Illinois, East Peoria, Illinois, throughout Chicago. What I saw was that it reflected the neighborhood on the south side or a place that's, say, more black or Hispanic than white. You saw more blacks and Hispanics in line. Where I live, the shop near me, it's near Wrigley, and it was a bunch of bros and young people. The first person out the door was a 35-year-old woman. I'm going to guess that was her age. But when I looked at the people in line, it kind of looked like people queuing up for a Cubs game. So I suppose, do you agree with this, Drew, that what you'll see is the neighborhood? It will look like the people that live in that area.
I think that's fair to say, and I think as we continue several months down the road, it's going to look more so like that. Right now, I think there's a lot of excitement, so people are driving around. They want to check out different shops and see what it looks like and what they have to offer. But I think with most businesses, yeah, that's a very safe assumption that a lot of the regulars you'll see will be coming from the neighborhood.
Where do you said, so you anticipated the crush yesterday, and you got your supplies ready. Where are your supplies coming from?
So for Illinois, any products that we sell in the dispensary have to be cultivated within the state of Illinois. So we work with many of the different cultivators within the state of Illinois that we had previously worked with through the medical program over the past few years. So we were able to secure a lot of our products from that as well.
I remember when they let those licenses to grow the marijuana and you'd be the wholesalers, and that was a coveted thing. So these are the people you're buying it from in the state. Where are these farms?
Really, they're located all throughout the state. Columbia Care, we actually have a cultivation facility that we're in the finishing steps right now, finalizing, so really all throughout the state, down south, up here, so all over, tend to be in a little bit more remote areas, so they can sort of have the space to do what they need to do. Is obviously the demand right now is huge.
Yeah. And then you take those products and you've got a laboratory And you you make your edibles, and or they make the edibles for you. They craft these things, huh?
Correct. So in Illinois, it's seed-to-sale tracking. So by the time something comes to a dispensary, it's already been tested, it's already been prepackaged, sealed, and ready to go.
But then, is your company have a brand different than the one I will get from somebody else? Like, is the edible the same edible since it's state-sanctioned and they're being grown in the state under certain regulations? Is everybody getting the same product, or is your product different than somebody else's?
Well, it's a little bit of each. So if it's a cultivator that you may find some cultivators are carried the same products in several different dispensaries, and then you may find some that are unique to a dispensary. So for us, I think that, you know, primarily we're doing the wholesaling right now. This year we're going to have our own Columbia Care flower and products as well, and we'll continue to work with the cultivators we've worked with. We'll continue to have our own, and we'll also be introducing our own product into other dispensaries as well.
312-981-7200 is a phone number. On a phone line, we're talking with Drew Bailey. He is the Columbia Care Market Director. You guys, you said, were in Jefferson Park. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. 4758 North Milwaukee.
I'm telling you, you got to get a jingle. I actually think we will play it on the radio. And that would be funny. I mean, you're the marketing director, so I wonder how cheeky the market wants you to be right now. It's always been medical. That's kind of serious. And now it's legal recreational, which would lend itself to a more fun approach. But maybe you don't want to go too stoner in your ad because we're not ready for that. I wonder what the vibe should be if you were going to sell your product on the radio.
That's a great question. We want to make sure we respect our patients who have continued to support us through all these years and the relief that we're here to provide them, the education and the experience. So we want to make sure we find that delicate balance for sure.
A quick question from Jim. You're on WGN. What did you want to say, Jim? You're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering, you know, you talk about pricing. Do these dispensaries or does the state have a means of making sure that they're competitive with the illegal street vendors so that, A, you can get those guys off the street, and B, make sure that, you know, more people are buying stuff that's a better quality, if you will?
Yeah, that's a good question. What do you know about that, Drew?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think as we continue to go down the road with this program, we're going to see the prices decrease and fall into a better and better value. So I think that's going to help people be encouraged to go into the dispensaries. And really the safety is the main factor as well. Knowing that you're getting something that was tracked seed to sale and that's been tested is healthy and safe medicine or products for you to consume.
I'll let you go. Does this question make any sense, though, Drew? So what's an ounce of loose leaf weed cost at your store?
So we have different tiers here in store. So depending on how it was grown, who the cultivator is, I'd say throughout the state you can find anywhere from high 200s to mid 300s for a full ounce, depending on the selection you're looking for and the kind of breakup of product that you chose.
High 200s to mid 300s, say 280 to 350 per ounce?
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair statement.
Nice to talk to you, Drew. Good luck to you, and thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you. Happy New Year again.
Yeah, that's Drew Bailey, soon to be an advertiser at WGN. He is the director of marketing at Columbia Care. 773 texted in and said, "Hey, John, I talked to about five regular pot smokers, and they all said they would keep buying from their supplier. An eighth ounce of premium marijuana is $50 on the street. How much at the dispensaries? Well, that'd be $400 an ounce." He said they were at about $350 for the good stuff there. Shop accordingly. We, a little while ago, visited with a retailer in Jefferson Park who was legally selling marijuana yesterday and today, but obviously now it's legal at these medical dispensaries. They're now recreational pot shops, too. I want to check in with one other store. The director of marketing at New Med Medical Marijuana in Old Town is Jonah Rapino. Hey, Jonah, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you today, Jonah? Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you so much. I'm doing great.
Good. So everything I said is true, right? Medical dispensary now selling retail, opened yesterday at 6 a.m.?
Absolutely. Actually, yesterday in Chicago, we opened at 8 a.m., but our other two locations in Illinois, in East Peoria and Urbana, both opened at 6 a.m.
So well, I'll bet Urbana had a good day yesterday.
Absolutely.
And can you tell me anything about the sales? What was it like for either your company or the Chicago location?
Well, yeah. So I'm in the Chicago location right now, and yesterday we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come to celebrate the end of Prohibition. It was amazing. We had lines starting at probably 7 a.m. for an 8 o'clock opening, and then we got them all checked in across the street in like a warm waiting room, and people were just like really happy to be somewhere warm and to just be out and be some of the first people purchasing adult use marijuana in Illinois.
I suppose if I asked a retail store, what were your sales yesterday, they might be a little guarded about telling me how much money came in, what their net margin was, et cetera. But boy, the pot shops are especially that way today.
Yeah, well, so for me, you know, I'm the director of marketing, but I don't have all the information on our net revenue and gross revenue. But I can tell you we had over 480 people come into our shop yesterday.
That helps, 480 people. And could you tell
me
what...
probably purchased around $150 worth of product.
All right. Elif, will you multiply 480 times 150 and get back to me, please? How was your merchandise? Did you run out? Did you have enough product?
Yeah, like a lot of the other dispensaries in the area, we ran out of our flower and our pre-rolls. Probably for us, it was around 4 p.m. yesterday. But we still have some edibles and our cartridges, like the vape cartridges, and some concentrates.
Did you restock today then?
No, we're still running from what we had yesterday, and we have probably at least 200 people on our digital line right now that are waiting to get a text notification that it's their turn to come into the shop.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we keep people off the street that way, and they can go either hang out in our warm waiting room across the street, or they can go to a restaurant or somewhere close by.
Well, could I, or not even leave home if I'm in the neighborhood, you'll text me and now... My turn is ready. I don't have to stand in a real long line that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess I could go stand in line, but if somebody's time stamped ahead of me, they're going to get to cut in front of me. Is that it?
You got it.
Yeah, right. And I suppose that not only is that a convenience for your customers, but at some point, it's a safety issue. If you've got hundreds of people all standing around with a sign that says, I have $200 in my pocket, that's a safety concern.
Yeah, for me, more safety in terms of the weather and then also traffic, you know, just keeping people off the sidewalks and, you know, people like jostle each other, you know, so this way, yeah, we're just very concerned about the safety, you know, of our customers, of course.
Can you tell me an anecdote about somebody who was in the store for the first time, what it was like for them? I saw a woman on TV said she can't wait to go home and smoke the joint with her dad. He smokes.
That's amazing.
But recreationally, it was always illegal for them, and they were happy to do so as a family, which is bizarre because I would never smoke a joint with my kids or my parents. But just tell me a little bit about tell me a little bit about that, though. What was
it
like?
Here's an amazing anecdote from yesterday. So I had a couple of people come up and tell me that on New Year's Eve, they had purchased like a pre-roll from some random person, you know, on the street or something. And they said it was possibly laced with something. Like, they had a terrible time. They had a horrible experience. Yeah. They feel like they were drugged. And so when they came in yesterday, they were like, is this a licensed, like, regulated marijuana shop? I was like, and they told me the whole story. And I was like, yes, absolutely. You're now in the right place. You can feel safe that you can get the product that is going to do the thing that you actually want it to do. You know, and that's why we need more dispensaries opening up so people can actually be, you know, confident what they're going to get is actually what they're wanting to get.
Was vaping a big part of your business yesterday?
Not quite as much as flower, but there are certainly a lot of people buying vapes, absolutely.
What's the deal with the flowers? I mean, what do people do with those?
Well, you know, that's the tradition, right? There's a plant that grows out of the ground, and that's how people always, you know, traditionally got it. So that's still kind of like the most, you know, known way or famous way to
really?
You know, use the plant.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought if I was buying it on the street or from you, I would buy it, even if I was going to smoke it, processed already as a pre-rolled joint or at least as loose leaf. But they're buying the whole plant head there? Is that what
it is? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. We would call it a bud. So you can either buy it in a bud, which is the trimmed off part from the plant.
Yeah.
Or you can buy in a pre-roll. So people have their own water pipes or other pipes or papers that they can break it up and roll it themselves, or they can buy, for convenience, a pre-roll.
Do you guys sell then the bongs and the papers and all the paraphernalia?
We have a few water pipes and other accessories as well.
Hey, Jonah,
I know, you're busy there.
Do you have to? Yeah.
Give me one more minute, Jonah, then I'll let you go.
Yeah,
you don't sell black light posters, do you? Or by any chance, or lava
lamps? Not at this point. No, not at this point. Yeah, we're a little bit more upscale. We're trying to serve the entire population. So we have, first-timers who are, 60 years old who are like, I've heard this is great for arthritis, to people who've been, growing their own for a long time, but are wow, you can now buy this at a licensed shop down the street, and I want to try that out. So all different types of people.
Am I able to sample it in the store?
No, absolutely not.
That's against the law?
Yeah, absolutely. You can only consume the comfort of your own home at this point. I think Illinois is going to try to make for some social use places eventually. But at this point, it's the same as beer. You can't just go outside and drink a beer. You have to, use it inside and for marijuana in the comfort of your own home.
No, but to that point, though, but you can consume beer publicly, socially, at a bar, at a restaurant, whatever.
Right. Or a company can offer samples at a grocery store to try to get you to buy it.
That's true. But I can't sample it at your store, huh?
No, I think we're a long way away from that.
Yeah. What does an ounce cost? A previous shop owner told me, or marketing director said, that an ounce of weed, depending on what you bought there, would be mid-200s high 200s to $280 to $350 an ounce. Is that about where you guys are?
Actually, right now, I don't know the price of flower. We sold out so fast yesterday, and I was doing a lot of just crowd control. So I think our 3.5 grams, we're selling for around $55, $60. But then there's a volume discount as you get more. But so yesterday, most shops, what they were doing was they were limiting most of our first-time adult use users to purchase only 3.5 grams of flower.
So 3.5 grams at how much did you say?
I think it was around $55 to $60.
55, so 3.5 times 50, so 150, something like that, yeah. Yeah, I know you're busy over there. Any last thing that I should be asking you? Any other news out of your store, Jonah?
Not really. We're just really excited to keep on celebrating this historic moment in Illinois history, as well as Illinois' cannabis history. And yeah.
Jonah Rapino is the director of marketing at New Bend Medical Marijuana in Old Town. Nice to talk to you, Jonah. Good luck to you guys.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
A lot of the questions about the FOID card and marijuana use we answered earlier in the last half hour with the previous owner and from a lot of listeners. There's still confusion about that. But the idea that by buying marijuana, scanning your license, say, to make sure you're of age, you're now going to make it impossible for you to get a FOID card is not true. We've been told a number of ways. So I hope we've cleared that up. And it's a cash-only business right now. By the way, somebody just sent me a picture of their receipt. So let me see if I can read this here. Subtotal, $220. They bought $77 of the gelato. They bought $71.50 of CRSO Shatter. This is, I think, the name of the product. And then $71 of Northern Lights. They bought it says 1.00G, a gram of that. And then there's a batch number. So the purchases were $77, $71, and $71 bucks for a total of $220. The local county tax, $1.65. The local city tax, $6.60. The Illinois sales tax, $19.25. The Illinois recreational experience tax, $55. The total tax, $82 on the $220 purchase. $82.50 in taxes. So the total for $220 of marijuana came to $302.50. Little heads up there for you as you head on out. Make sure you bring enough cash. John, could you ask your guest from the pot shops if the following is true? In fact, here it is. About your FOID card and your marijuana purchase, 262 says, the Illinois State Police is clarifying the rules when it comes to firearms owner's identification card. According to a Facebook post by the ISP, quote, the Illinois State Police will not revoke firearms owners' identification cards based solely on a person's purchase of marijuana. Okay, that's good to know. John, at the Sunnyside Dispensary, it was $600 an ounce. That was the one near me. John, how do they pay taxes on income since they only take cash? Well, they're going to be super honest. John, what would it be interesting, have a street dealer call in on the show to discuss legal weed and how it will affect their business. If you are selling or buying on the street, how do these prices sound to you? I'm kind of curious, too. 312-981-7200. There's a history for this. I don't know what it did to the people making gin in their bathtubs once upon a time, but when suddenly it was legal to sell alcohol again, I'm sure that just killed the the home brews and distilleries. I don't know what this is going to do to the marijuana people, but if it's the prices we were quoted were $280 to $350 an ounce, but this person said that was $600 an ounce. That must have been the good stuff at Sunnyside. What is that compared to on the street? And somebody said it was $50 for an eighth. That would be $400 an ounce on a street. John, you guys sound pretty clueless about some of this cannabis stuff. Really, what was your first clue? There's a huge difference between leaves or fan leaves, sugar leaves, the actual bud known as the flower. I guess everyone is about to learn, laughing out loud. Well, of course I'm stupid about this. A spaceship just landed, and I'm asking them about what they do.
The first few times there was a reference to flour, I assume they meant for, like, making brownies.
I didn't know. Oh, the flour, like white, the pot, white flour,
like,
yeah. Right.
Well, like pot brownies. Like, oh, they put in a flour for it.
You are so stupid, man.
I know.
What are you? Hey, Boomer, get a clue, okay? Idiot.
It's all true.
I'm really scared about what life is going to be like, John, when my great-grandchildren reach the age of 21. What will be legal then? Heroin? I'm 81 now, and I'm worried about drivers high on pot. I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be worried about that. I don't think heroin will ever be legal. I don't think people are going to be more dangerous on the roads now than they are already. In fact, you know, for the same reason that I advocate that if you're going to college, you should be able to drink legally your freshman year. So, too, perhaps legalizing it will tamp down the worst behaviors of people. I mean, it's you don't have to run from the police. Just enjoy it responsibly.
So, if she's 81, her mother or grandmother might have had said the same thing about her. Like, one day you're going to be able to buy booze again.
I know. I know. Really, put this in a time capsule, because this is day one, and sure, it's new to us. And sure, some of us sound stupid. It reminds me of the conversation that Brian Gumbel had with Katie Couric when the internet was invented, and they were trying to figure out how to say www dot and then .com or .nbc. They didn't even know what that meant. It was new. On line five, is that my brother? Okay, is he calling in? Why is he calling in? All right, that should be marginally fun. Mark, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, Johnny.
What do you want?
So, I'm down here in Arizona.
Yeah.
As you know, I've retired.
Yes.
And I'm always hearing you say, hey, hey, Alexa, play WGN. And I did that this morning, and it worked perfectly. I couldn't believe it.
Holy cow, we're coming in like a champ there, huh?
It does. It comes in like a channel because my son, David, who's a college-age guy, is down here. We've been listening to the show.
Oh, my gosh.
And he looks at me and he goes, boy, your brother has never smoked pot, has he?
I have not. Friends of mine
1.00 G? That's 1 gram, John. That's 1 gram.
Okay. I don't know. Well, what? You're an expert at this? Your son is sitting right there? Tell me how much marijuana you've smoked or consumed.
Okay, not very much at all, but more than you.
Okay, well, that would be you were in a room with it, but I'm looking at this receipt, and you're laughing at me. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, pretty much. We're laughing at you.
Generally, anyway.
Right at you.
Yeah, right. And then
not with you, not around you, right at you. We're laughing right at you.
Your youngest children are how old?
Youngest is 21 this month.
Okay, so just now they're legally able to buy marijuana in Illinois. Is pot legal in Arizona?
It's not. They shut it down this year, I think. But we just moved from Colorado, where it was very legal. So
have they, or do they care? Do you care if they do?
I care. I don't like it, but
why don't you like it?
And
why don't you like it?
But I don't know, because I grew up my whole life thinking that's drugs.
Yeah,
and I don't like the idea of my kids being on drugs. And now all of a sudden, January 1st, we say, oh, it's not drugs. Now this year, it's recreational. You know,
were you looking forward to the day when your kids? You have triplets, all now 21. Were you looking forward? 25. I thought you said, oh, the youngest is 21 because that's Alec. Were you looking forward to the day when your kids each turn 21 where you could have a beer with them?
Yes.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? Because I'm the same way, and I enjoy having beer with my kids. And if they want to try a mixed drink, I think that's kind of fun. So here we are all drinking, and I look forward to drinking with my kids. There's no difference.
Too, the idea of edibles versus smoke is a lot different. So, like, when I was in Colorado, we tried edibles one time, and it was pretty fun. You know, lots of laughing, lots of hanging out and fun, but it didn't stink, and it just didn't feel like I was in my dorm room at the University of Iowa in 1984.
Yeah, but the business of drinking alcohol is, like, it's a social thing, so you're having a sip, a can can last you, you know, several minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, and then you're going to have another one. My point is that the consumption is part of the pleasure of alcohol, and if you take an edible, you just kind of sit there and then what do? Wait? That the experience is quite different, it would seem to me, doing marijuana as opposed to alcohol.
You also are sitting there probably with a glass of wine or a beer as well, so you don't just sit there in your underwear and then, you know, slice up the edibles and start handing them out and say, okay, everybody, wait a half hour.
Okay, just to repeat, I've never done this, so I'm sure that I'm sounding very green here, but yeah, you may have a point there about that. Yeah. All right.
Wait. Green? You're sounding green if you haven't done it before.
I know. I get it. All right, well, I'm sure
you have to do the edibles in your underwear.
You don't, but it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, well, all right. This has really been a pleasure, Mark. I'm so glad you called. What's the temperature? You haven't even bragged about that in Phoenix.
It's going to be 68 and sunny today.
Yeah, actually, we've got a nice day right now. It's sunshine, blue skies. We're going to be in the 40s today, so we'll take that when we can get it. Nice to hear you, my boy. Say hi to the family for me. That's my brother, Mark. He just figured out that there's this thing called the internet, and you can listen out of state. So we appreciate his call. Look at all these texts. Elif just handed me a list. John, street weed is harder to get not. Maybe they meant high. Those prices are a bit high, even for good product. Yeah, they sounded high to me, too. John, if 1/8 of an ounce costs $55, then 1 ounce will be $440. Well, sure. And some of the prices are less expensive and some are more expensive, depending on where you go.